Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Redockables with Duck and Oz.
Yeah,
Oz, how are you, young man?
I'm living the dream every day of my life, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, man, I'm good. It's great to hear, to put a quick little time stamp on things. It's great to hear that there was no new cases in WA today, and the coronavirus cases throughout Australia were relatively low, man. So you never know, this time next week, mate, I could be in a room with you. You never know. We could
This is exciting. Oh, another room with a big guy. Here we go.
Yeah. Mate, who knows?
Well, all we need to do, mate, just to be political for a second, all we need to do is say we're teachers, mate. No one cares. So, you know, we can spread it amongst ourselves, mate. We can have 30-odd people in here. It's all good.
Yeah, jam them in. Hey, Oz, mate, this week, for those people who haven't watched it yet, we went through Western Bulldogs versus Fremantle at Princess Park, round one on the 29th of the 3rd, 1997, in front of 8,664 fans at Princess Park. The Western Bulldogs, and guys, if you haven't watched the game, stop the podcast and watch it, because it's an absolute ripper. The Western Bulldogs, 11-10-76, defeated by the Fremantle Dockers, 10-20. 80 in some pretty poor kicking in front of goal by 4 points. Oz, we've meant to do this every podcast, but mate, do you just want to quickly run through the Dockers team?
I would love to run through the Dockers team, which is full of both excitement, wisdom, and Dockery Docker moments. Okay, so we got Abraham, Ben Allen, Daniel Bandy, Craig Callahan, Scotty Chisholm, James Clement, Tony Delaney with a shortened haircut, if you don't mind. Greg Harding, Anthony Jones, Dale Kickett, Quentin Leach, Peter Mann, Sean McManus, looking trim and terrific, Gavin Mitchell, Jason Norrish, Stephen O'Reilly, Daniel Parker, Shane Parker, the twins, Luke Toya, Jeff White, and Andrew Wills.
Andrew Wills, mate, with one of the great games. And Oz, if you don't mind, mate, let's get into the GBD.
Let's get into the GB, and this is the right button. There you go.
Mate, just into some good. Mate, for a start, I thought the Dockers dominated the game. I thought everyone played really well. There wasn't, there was a couple of average performances that we'll talk about in the bad, but a really, really strong team effort. No real outstanding players, but no real players that really played too bad, except for maybe one or two. Dockers dominated the whole game. I mean, 10 goals, 20 as well. Like, in the first quarter in particular, I was super impressed. 3 goals, 4 to 1 point against a pretty strong Western Bulldogs side that ended up making the preliminary final and just narrowly missing out on a grand final. I believe this is the year that Tony Liberatore kicked a goal, but it was caught a point against Adelaide, and they missed out in the grand final.
Correct.
So, pretty good stuff there, mate. First individual I want to point out, Shane Parker, mate, old Nosy Parker, the original Dockery Docker, who I always was like, man, he's no good. And I actually copped a little bit of flack on the boards when I said that he should be in the Dockery Dockers team of the century. But mate, he did a great job on Chris Grant, who would later go on to poll the most votes this year in the Brownlow medal, and he was ineligible. So, he was fantastic on Chris Grant. Shane Parker did a great job. What were your thoughts on Nosy Parker, mate? Solid job?
Yeah, look, solid job. You could tell that already he was rolling into his crab form in terms of how he runs. I've said this before, very crab-esque, but very quick. Super quick out the back line, mate, but you go, because I'm going to add on to what you're saying with the pace.
I thought Jeff White was awesome in the ruck, except, mate, he, apart from the last quarter when he kept on smashing it forward, like, so every ruck knock, he tried to punch it forward as far as he could. I don't think anyone knew from the Dockers. I don't think he quite. And even the one time when it worked, it was a Western Bulldogs player overran it and Ben Allen picked it up. So I don't know if Jeff White quite was on the same page with everyone else in terms of, all right, mate, I'm just going to smash this forward. But he did a great job. Against Darcy and Wind. Wind won the Brownlow medal in 92 and Darcy was an up-and-coming star. So, you know, for Jeff White to hold his own, and they kept on talking about the curse of the number one pick, but Jeff White was really quite good. I thought Ben Allen was huge in the last quarter. Actually, pretty much won the game for us in the last quarter with his couple of efforts across half forward. And he really didn't do much before that, but he came alive in the last quarter. He had about 5 or 6 touches of his 13. Winnie Abraham, mate, that last goal, I mean, we just got to break that down for a little bit. So he missed He missed three pretty easy goals leading up to it.
Two sitters.
Yeah, he's kicked 3 points. And, mate, the thing about Winnie Abraham that really got me licking my lips was how quick he was, mate. His speed is elite. But, look, what he's done about 30 seconds beforehand is he's given away a free kick down the field, I think, which pretty much like stopped us from having an opportunity to go forward. So all Western Bulldogs have to do is hold on to the ball. There's a turnover. The ball gets kicked towards Winnie. He picks the ball, traps the ball when it's just about hit him on the bounce, shrugs a tackle and kicks it from the center square. So where the center square line is, he kicks it from there. It goes over O'Reilly's head and goes through for a goal for the big W, mate. So I thought Winston Abraham was actually – I mean, he was trying his hardest, mate, and he was really turning it on. Your thoughts on Winnie Abraham?
Yeah. It must be hard. It must have been hard to coach Winnie Abraham because he's so enigmatic. 1 minute, you know, moments of brilliance like that. That goal is just – it's got to go down as – I totally forgot about that, so I apologise wholeheartedly to Winston Abraham and extended family because that goal was ultimate. And a while ago we talked about that. But then there's moments, much like Scotty Chisholm actually, where you just go, I'm not sure what happened there or what was going through the mind, but it was just it must be in the box quite frustrating at times, but his talent was undeniable.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this might have been his last year at the club. I think they traded him at the end of the year to North Melbourne. But quite an interesting game by Winnie Abraham. And just that, yeah, the highs and lows, the, you know, the agony and the ecstasy. Mate, moving on to the next bloke who ended up with 3 Brownlow votes. But Andrew Wills, a.k.a. the Flying Egg, who looks about 35 at the time, he's only 25. Mate, had 22 disposals and kicked 2 goals, 3. And, mate, he was really up for the fight, Willsy, which was quite amazing. I thought he was outstanding, you know. I thought he played really, really well. In the Dockers book, they talk about him moving into the midfield and that being a massive, massive change for him as well as the club, and he kind of carried the team a little bit. He ended up with the most Brownlow votes out of anyone from the Dockers that year. So, look, really outstanding stuff from Willsy. And the last two guys that I wanted to mention was Bandy, who was solid across half forward, and Jason Norris, who played really solid across half back. Anyone that you want to single out, mate, or mention?
Oh, you've already mentioned White, and his, I think it was 9 contested marks, was freakish, especially towards that last quarter where he stepped it up. I thought Stephen O'Reilly was very solid in the back line. He held us in good stead. And the other guy, I'm not sure if you're going to go into, are you going to go talk about Daniel Bandy at all? Because I thought...
I just said Bandy, mate. I thought he was solid.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go on a little bit there because I thought Daniel Bandy as a second, and this is... And this is where I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent here, Doug, because I think Daniel Bandy was a little misunderstood, but I always thought he was more of a utility and you could swing him forward, you could swing him back, he could play in the ruck, and he was just going to give you that decent service. And I thought sometimes the expectation placed on Bandy was too high. And in this game, I thought what he was able to do was quintessential in terms of his commitment and contribution to the club. And I thought that potentially had, you know, we have kept him around a little bit longer, I thought we probably could have used him a little better. But, I really enjoyed watching Bandy play and just going, yeah, gee whiz, that's pretty good. I love the comment I sent to you, mate. I texted you through and I said, mate, are you watching Shawnee Mack put on a clinic through the middle? And then I literally said that and then he melted in that last moment. Yeah, he mate. Kicked it out on the full.
Well, I mean, Shawnee Mack ended up with 2 Brownlow votes and he was solid, but we need to talk about, we'll move that into the bad, okay, mate, where Shawnee Mack's melt in the last 20 seconds of the game where he, and I mean, this is a little bit dockery, it's a little bit bad, but he played solid, but he has got the ball on the wing by himself and he literally kicks it straight towards the boundary line. Like he could have held on to the ball and just kicked it anywhere but he kicks it straight over the boundary line, 20 meters, like picks it up, doesn't even look, just kicks it straight over the boundary line. Like no presence, no poise, no nothing. And I mean, it just sums up Shawnee Mack to me in a nutshell, mate. But he was solid, but I mean, that melt at the end, that's the kind of thing that cost Dockers games, mate. And really makes me wonder why he was a fan favorite, because it's just like, it's so frustrating, mate. But getting on to another fan favourite in Scotty Chisholm, mate. Scotty Chisholm, Oz. I didn't get it. So it seemed like at the start of the game, Scotty Chisholm was playing in the forward pocket.
Yeah.
He has the first two inside 50s. I think he has the first two shots for goal.
Well, they're supposed to be shots, yeah.
Mate, has the first two shots for goal. Like, then he's kicking it out. Then he's like, I mean, he's playing in the back line. He gives away five free kicks, right? One of them was when actually Shawnee Mack kicks a goal and Chisholm shepherds this dude who doesn't need to be shepherded, like, and just hits him too late. And, it's a real crucial goal, actually.
It was Shawnee Mack's goal too, mate.
A Shawnee Mack's goal. Mate, in the second quarter, so this is in the space of a minute. He kicks it out. Kicks it straight to Chris Grant, who goes back and misses it. Then he kicks it out again, and he kicks it straight out of bounds on the full. Like, and this is, mate, to me, this is the quintessential problem with Jared Neesham, is like for him to look at Scotty Chisholm and say, you are our designated kick-out man. Like, this is when the designated kick-out man was starting to come into vogue. But for him to look around, you know, the 21 guys that are playing and go, you. Scotty Chisholm, who looks like he does not know how to kick a ball properly. Like, he actually doesn't know how to kick a ball. Like, the amount of turnovers he had, the amount of times he kicked it straight to the opposition, like, the complete frustration and the freakishness of him, where he'll get around two or three guys and then kick it straight to the opposition. It's like, man, like, who in their right mind, whose decision was that? Like, whoever's just, and that's one of the reasons why you've just got to look at Neesham and say, well, maybe it was. A part of your coaching was good, but a lot of your coaching was also pretty average, man.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because I actually asked the question, and because for those of you out there wondering what goes on, basically either Duck tells me that he's listening to watching the game, or I'll tell him, and we'll try and sync it. But it's pretty challenging. But we'll try and sync it, or I'll do it with my mates. And you know, I'm texting through. I'm going, mate, I've just looked this up. Scotty Chisholm, I wondered why I wasn't so angry when he got traded. And then I realized, and I'm not sure, are you going to go on with this or can I go
on? You can, mate. You do it.
Yeah. So Scotty Chisholm was effectively traded to Melbourne. And with the pick that we managed to get for Scotty Chisholm, we managed to nab Tony Modra from Adelaide. Now, yeah, I question.
That's a pretty good swap.
This is a question without notice for you, Duck. And I love these. But is there another trade or another situation where we've managed to pick up such a vital draft pick in order either to pick up someone in terms of the draft or trade it on to pick up that player? Is there anyone that we've managed to get a better deal out of?
Oh, I can't. Like, Modra for Chisholm, even though Modra only played 2 years, like, Modra for Chisholm is mental, man. Like, that's too good. Like, you know, I can't think off the top of my head. I'll have to go back through because, I mean, mainly the picks that you look at, the draft, it's all the mistakes that the Dockers have made. And you're like, oh, man, we're terrible. Like, we did this. I mean, our Peter Bell, the guy we traded for, Peter Bell, was Dylan Smith, who was pick 10, and he didn't play. He played about, I think he played 10 games for North Melbourne. Then he got delisted, and then the Dockers picked him up as a part of their rookie list. So I thought that was pretty funny. So we ended up with the guy who they picked up. But look, I can't think off the top of my head. I think for Stephen Coops, we got David Mundy.
Oh, hello.
So that's a good, like the pick that we got for trading Coops to the Western Bulldogs, we got David Mundy. So, I mean, that's pretty, I mean, Coops for Mundy, that's pretty mental. But like, you don't know, do you? But like, Scotty Chisholm straight for Tony Modra, mate, is pretty unbelievable. It's pretty awesome. And especially when you look at our forward line and how much we're crying out for a key forward, and you could see it. I mean, you could see, and just onto a couple more bads, but Peter Mann dropped about 10 marks, mate. Mm. Like, the game before, you're like, oh, man, Peter Mann's so good. But then he produces a stinker like that in his first outing as captain. So, I mean, it's a little bit disappointing there. And then also Daniel Parker, who took a couple of marks, dropped a couple of marks as well. But, I mean, he really he just couldn't kick either. I mean, another classic forward who can't kick. It really makes me wonder what – I know maybe Kingsley Hunter was injured And I assume Waterhouse was injured, maybe, but I don't know why Hunter and Waterhouse weren't playing, mate, especially from the last game that was played was the game we did last week, the redockable last week in Dockers versus Fitzroy. And Hunter and Waterhouse looked amazing. And they were young guys and they're coming through. But, some of the changes were quite interesting. But Daniel Parker, man, he just looked like he just couldn't mark and he couldn't really kick, which is quite funny, mate.
Can I just quickly go back to the Bald Eagle? You talked about him before, like, you know, 40 years of age, trolling out there, Andrew Wills. Now, again, if he plays in our first game against Fitzroy,
you meant against Richmond.
Yeah, sorry, against Richmond, sorry. If he plays in that first game, I reckon we win that game.
Mate, he played in the 94 grand final for Geelong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's not a mug. Like, he's not a, he's in the best 21 for a team that's made it to the grand final, but he can't make it into the best 21 for the Dockers. Like, there's no, like, we couldn't have, like, not played Klukas or whoever it was, like, some crab who didn't touch the ball. Like, Andrew Wills had experience. He had fight. Like, he's always up for the battle. Yeah. Like, that's the thing I loved about Willsy. He looked like an absolute, he was a beast at the contest.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get involved, mate. He wanted to get up and about. So I was really pumped with Willsy, mate. Hey, just onto some Dockery, mate. I thought the third quarter was very Dockery, if you don't mind. 1-5 to 5-straight. So the Dockers actually dominated the quarter and just let Western Bulldogs just we'd kick point, and then as the Dork Talk boys like to say, a couple of quick singles, and then the Western Bulldogs would just take it down the other end. But I think that's the other thing as well that we've got to realize: three quarter time, we're down by 17 points. First game away, you know, like, traditionally we've got a really poor record away, and we still do. And to fight back and win that game, I mean, it's actually really, really good. But I think as well, Oz, the thing that's a little bit hidden in here is we dominated the Western Bulldogs. We absolutely dominated that game. Yeah. And we were all over the top of them. Our defense played really well. You know, a couple of goals that they got through, nice and easy. But, I mean, I thought that we absolutely dominated the game and we really deserved to win by about 5 or 6 goals, but just couldn't kick straight. Mate, the last Dockery thing, that's probably not too Dockery, but I thought it was quite funny and I quite enjoyed this, was Hardgraves and Chisholm doing the old stick it up you, hit your arm and like stick it up your ass, mate, get it right up you. And Hardgraves kicks a goal after doing nothing. He had two disposals, and he kicks a goal. And he just went mental. And the commentator's like, well, there's no need for that. And then after the siren goes, Chisholm does the same thing. He's like, it's just like, that's classic. I love a bit of that, mate. They should bring it back, mate. Like a proper stick it up you to the fans, mate. Nothing better than that. Hey,
one thing, mate. Could I throw in one thing?
Yeah, of course.
25-7. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know you're talking about the free kick count.
Free kick count, mate.
Oh, unbelievable.
Any danger of getting the free kick?
Got a question coming up about it. But mate, 25-7. And it was just like, what the hell? Mate, I thought the odds were quite interesting. I mean, the Dockers traditionally hadn't won too many games away from home and they're paying 220. It's like, what? Like, what? They should be. Surely, I know Terry Wallace just started coaching at Western Bulldogs, but Western Bulldogs are only $1.60, so quite interesting there. Hey, should we go to the mixed team, mate? Have you got your team?
I've had my team. I'm ready to go, mate. You go first this time. Mate. I went first last time.
All right, I'll start from the back line. I've got Parker, Hamling, and Ryan.
That's not bad.
My back three.
That's not bad. I've got Hamling, O'Reilly, and Pierce.
Oh, nice. And then I've got Kickett, Pierce, and Wilson.
Oh, boy. I've got Kickett, Wilson, and Clement.
I didn't put Wilson in my team last week, and he's come in for Logue. So he's done nothing over the week that I've seen, but he's managed to get a call up. Across my midfield, mate, I got Norrish, Brayshaw, and Stephen Hill.
Oh, nice. I've got Stephen Hill. I've got Dave Mundy and Andrew Wills. Now, it's funny that you said, into the midfield, because I've gone, this guy needs to be in the guts. Love it.
Yeah, see, I've put him on the half-forward flank. I've gone Willsy on the half-forward flank with Lobbert centre half-forward and Winston Abraham on the other half-forward flank. It's a bit of speed.
Lick your lips here, mate. Peter Mann.
Ooh.
Nat Fife.
Fife at centre half-forward.
Yeah, mate. And Jesse Hogan. Oh, boy.
Oh, Hogan's heroes. Jeez, that's good. Mate, Peter Mann, I had to drop him from my team after his performance, mate. The drop marks. Just couldn't handle it, mate. My forward line, I've ended up with Sturt in the pocket, Bandy at full forward, and Mundy.
Oh, nice.
So Mundy and Bandy back together again, mate.
I've got it. Sturt, Lobb and Walters.
Oh, nice. I like that, mate. I've ended up with my ruck line of White in the ruck, punching it straight forward to Fife and Sonny, who are going to stand 10 metres in front of the contest, mate. Just smack it forward, Jeff White. Don't tell anyone, but just smack it.
There really wasn't any surprise in his methodology there. It was just, I'm going to take a 10-metre run-up if I can, if the ball doesn't bounce behind me. Yeah, I've done the same. Jeff White, Brayshaw and Toya.
Toya. Yeah. Ooh, Toya, not bad. My interchange, mate, I hesitate to do this, but I put Shawnee Mack, Logue, Callahan, and I thought Ben Allen gets a gig after his great last quarter.
Nice. I love the defenders. I love the defenders here, mate. Now, there's no rhyme or reason to this, but I've got Ryan, Logue, Parker, and Jones.
Yeah, I like that, mate. That's good. Parker was solid, man. I'd have him in my team, mate. He was good. He was so good on ground. And he could really play that good lockdown role. He's a good lockdown player, mate. All right, mate. Well, we're changing things up a little bit. We're going to do the quiz now, the first quiz, which is just on the game. Now, guys, because I can't be bothered finding, well, I did find who's the oldest, who's the youngest, but it's pretty similar to the last couple of weeks. I've only got 5 questions now. And Oz, you can read the questions in bold, question 2 and 4.
Gotcha.
And I'll read the other questions. So question number one is, name the 3 players who played for both Western Bulldogs and Fremantle in this game. So there was 3 players. They talked about one of them a lot, and we've talked about another one. But name the 3 players that played for both Western Bulldogs and Fremantle. We've actually talked about all 3 of them in the opening segment.
I like it. Question number 2, how many people were wearing a number in the 40s? Okay, how many people?
That's my classic grammar there.
No, mate, all good. All good. I haven't got my glasses on here. So how many people were wearing a number in the 40s?
That's for the Dockers, guys, who played in that game. How many people? Question number 3, how many changes were there from the round 22 game versus Fitzroy, that the last game that we watched, the round 22 game versus Fitzroy?
Ooh, good question.
Ooh, how many changes?
Question 4, of the players that played in both games, round 22, 1996, and round 1, 1997, who had changed numbers? So of the players that played in both games, so round 22, 1996, round 1, 1997, who had changed their number?
Interesting. And last one is, who played the least amount of games for the Dockers from that team? Who had ended up playing the least amount of games for the Dockers from that team? All right, Oz, let's go to a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have the answers and we'll have a summary of the 97 season.
Beautiful. This one's called Remote Learning, Duck.
Welcome back to episode 3 of the Redockables, the 1997 game, the 97 game versus Western Bulldogs, round 1. Hope you guys have watched it. If you haven't, you might as well stop and give it a little bit of a watch. It's a pretty good game, actually. It's a tight game. I was on the edge of my seat towards the end. But Oz, let's have a little walk back down in memory lane to the 97 season. Probably our best season.
Do we need to do the answers, mate?
What's that?
Got to do the answers first.
Oh, yeah, better do the answers before we do that. Question number 1 was, name the 3 players who played for both Western Bulldogs and Fremantle. That was Bandy, Weirer, and Hardgraves ended up playing for the Dockers.
Beautiful. How many people were wearing a number in the 40s? That was Mitchell, Callahan, and Bandy, so 3 in total.
How many changes were there from round 22 a game versus Fitzroy? There were 6 changes.
Beautiful. Number 6. 4 of the players that played in both games, round 22, 1996, round 1, 1997, who had changed numbers? Toya went from 40 to 1 and Harding went from 32 to 3.
Yeah, that's interesting. 32 to 3. I found that quite interesting. 32 is a pretty good number. I mean, synonymous, obviously, with Peter Bell and Stephen Hill but yeah, and because those guys go down, I wonder why the other guys wearing number 40s didn't go down. Like, I think Mitchell's wearing like 45. It's like, mate, you're a pretty good player. Like, you surely you can get a lower number. But and Callahan and Ben, but 42 and 44 are pretty solid numbers as well. And the last question, who played the least amount of games for the Dockers out of that side? That would be Daniel Parker, who played 25 games over four seasons.
Mm.
And yeah, very interesting player. Mate, let's just quickly go into the 97 season, like I was saying before. Look, probably our best seasons to date up until that stage. Look, we went 10-12 with a percentage of 91.9%. Had wins in round one versus the Western Bulldogs, round two versus Hawthorn, round five versus St Kilda, round seven versus Melbourne, round eight versus the Brisbane Lions, round 12 versus Essendon, in which we beat Essendon by like 97 points. Round 14 versus Sydney, round 16 versus the Western Bulldogs again, round 17 versus Hawthorn, and round 19 versus Richmond. And, mate, I mean, the big thing is if you manage to flick through and read the book and have a look at the summary of the 97 season, we actually, coming into the last game, and I remember this, I was down in Mount Barker at Frost Park, which is where the Mount Barker Bulls play, not confused with Saunders Park, where the South Barker Hawks used to play.
Oh boy.
I remember listening to the Dockers play Melbourne in round 22, and all we needed to do was win, and we were in the finals. But nine at the time. I didn't realize that, obviously, you know, our injury toll was, the fact of the matter is we only had 22 fit players for the last game. So one guy missed out. I'd hate to be that guy who missed out. And during the game, Kickett and Jones both got injured. So if you guys would have heard the Dockers podcast called Bleeding Purple, Jared Neesham, I believe, actually talks about it in that 97 season at the end, where he's like, we wouldn't have been able to field a side for the final. Our very first final, we wouldn't have had 21 fit players, which would have been very interesting. So, look, you know, that's a little bit of a tough one. Mate, do you want to – the Doig medalist that year was Kickett. Parker came second, Callahan third, Wills fourth, Harding fifth, Toya sixth, O'Reilly seventh, Leach eighth, Durke ninth, and Gale 10th, Mark Gale. So Mark Gale won the Beacon Award. I remember Mark Gale being quite an outstanding player, right? And he was really, really solid. Andrew Wills got the most Brownlow votes, like I said before, with 15. Kingsley Hunter was the leading goal kicker with 32. And we had one rising star in one, Heath Black. Round five versus St Kilda, which was pretty funny because he'd later go on to play for St Kilda. So, look, man, we had a pretty solid group of players coming through. And if you look at that top 10 in the Doig, all relatively young guys who will continue to press on. But, you know, the injuries just crueled us quite hard. And then, as history would have seen as well, they only gave Neesham a one-year contract after this. So he originally had a three-year contract, and then they've given him another one-year contract to follow up, and he was, you know, you're not Arthur or Martha, mate. So, you know, he was kind of in limbo for 1 year, and of course, injuries continued to take its toll, and you know, we ended up in 98, which we don't have a game for 98 for our next game, mate, but we will be doing a 99 game.
Yep.
But yeah, the 98 season was a bit of a killer, and Neesham leaves at the end of the season, and Damien Drum comes in for the 99 season.
Oh, so there's some serious highlights coming up there, mate.
Yeah. But Oz, mate, do you want to go into the music quiz or anything you else want to talk about in the 97 season?
Mate, look, I loved it. Nothing really to add to the 97 season. Look, a couple of things that I had from the game itself. Now, and I should have said this before, but a young Jono and a young Nathan Brown, and I ask you this question again. Does the Western Bulldogs pioneer the head throwback? And if you watch that game again, there's a lot of head throwback. Now, I know we talk about Shuey doing the old duck dive, but there's a lot of head throwback, especially Scotty West, mate. I think that it's brewing here, and I think that this particular team, that's where it's come from, mate. I'm just putting it out there.
They're the OG head throwbacks, mate.
That it's not that important. All right, mate, look, let's get to this quiz. Now, I believe I said something along the lines of, get your rave whistle out, mate, because this is an absolute banger of a top 10 list. So get excited. This time I've tried to shorten it down so it doesn't take 10 minutes to go through it. So bear with me here, peeps. Here we go. All right, let's see if this works. Please work. Number 10. I want to get fresh. Wowza. Number 10. Number 9. You got to get through these first three. They're not that great. Number 8. Particularly, but that is number 8. Number 7. You need to think of a movie here, Duck. I didn't even know this song existed, I'll be honest with you. That's number 7. Number 6 is a banger. It's coming up. Time to live the dream. Shout out Jane Street, how we going? Peaking at number 5. No lyrics required for number 5 here, Duck. Right in the wheelhouse of Oz here. 90s trance, loving it. Number 4, another boy band. A lot of peroxide going on here. Better song at number 3. Sure, if you can remember the push-ups here on stage from said singer. Number 2, an absolute classic from one of the all-time movies. And number 1. All right, that's it, mate.
That's I mean, I can't. I could pick two of the 10 songs. I know one was No Doubt.
Yes,
and the
correct.
Other one was R. Kelly.
Yes.
The first song, the number one song, I assume, was Spice Girls?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, Spice Girls going through that phenomenon. So running through them very quickly, not Genie G's best hit, which was Ooh Ah, I believe, but Fresh, number 10. Then at number 9, we had Red Letter Day by the Pet Shop Boys. Number 8 was Isn't It a Wonder by Boyzone. Then number 7, Another Suitcase in Another Hall, I believe, from Madonna, and that's from Evita. Number 6, absolute classic by Sash, and I still remember getting this CD from Tower Records in Singapore. Shout out, Murph, how you going? And Conan Foy. Number 5, another banger, which was Flash by BBE. No lyrics required. Number 4, Anywhere For You. I couldn't remember this song from the Backstreet Boys because I didn't listen to them. We won't say any more. Number 3, Don't Speak by No Doubt. And just as a side note, Duck, Gwen Stefani has managed to defy Mother Nature and Father Time simultaneously. And she looks exactly the freaking same now than as she did when she actually sang this song. And I'm not sure what her secret is, if she's going into one of those float tanks, who knows.
Hyperbaric chambers.
Oh, mate, I tell you, looking the goods. Number 2, I believe I can fly from R. Kelly. We won't talk about R. Kelly too much, mate. Bit controversial there. But the all-time movie was, of course, Space Jam. And that is my favorite basketballer of all time, the GOAT, Michael Jordan, who, by the way, there is a Chicago Bulls special coming out.
It's out today, mate, on Netflix.
Is it out today? Why have
it's
I not?
It's out today on Netflix.
I didn't know it was
you
today.
You can watch it after this, mate. You got nothing to do tomorrow.
Binging that. Well, I've actually got school meetings now that we've been called back to work on the Wednesday. Thank you, McGowan. And one, Mama, who do you think you are from the Spice Girls? The Spice Girls.
Anyway, Oz, thanks for listening, guys. The next episode we're going to do is in 1999. It's our first derby win. So we're going to do the game is round 16, 1999 versus the West Coast Eagles. It's our first derby win. We're going to see Modra, mate. We're going to see some good players. We're going to see a big derby win, mate. We're going to be talking about it next week. And Oz, mate, if I don't know how you're feeling, but if you'd like, mate, we can do it face to face as well.
Oh, let's do it, mate. Now, this last song, Duck, is called MP's Turd Sandwich for Teachers. So just teachers, we are thinking of you out there. We love yous all. We are all essential all right, workers, guys. People.
Thanks for listening. Okay. Stay safe. Keep the coronavirus down to zero, and hopefully we'll have the footy back on before you know it.